again there, folks. So I thought I might do a little more light-hearted video, a bit of a back to basics kind of video that I used to do, and this time on the subject of Piers Morgan. Now, the funny thing about Piers Morgan is that over the last year or so, I've heard so many people ask, like, who really runs this country? Does Boris Johnson and the Tory party run Britain, or is it actually Piers Morgan? Even my dad said this. Like, is it that we live now under a Piers Morgan dictatorship where he sets the discourse and what everybody has to, how everybody has to think from his sofa in the on Good Morning Britain with Susanna Reid and the Weather Girl? I've recently been binge-watching all of the debates and all of the kind of drama that Piers Morgan gets into on his like Good Morning Britain, on his pulpit. And people will say, well, you know, I don't watch mainstream TV, so I don't care, I don't give a shit. But the fact is, a lot of people do. And so people, on the one hand, people will say, like, I don't watch television, and there's no point in talking about it. And then on the other hand, they'll say, like, why are the normies not waking up? Well, we're going to take a look at what Piers Morgan's approach is. I think he is very influential. He's a bit of a dick, and he's been around for a long time. He was involved in the tabloid press. He popped up on all that, like, trashy TV shows. But for a few years now, he's his sort of platform is Good Morning Britain. And you know, I kind of sort of fault some of the charred energy that he has going on sometimes. I mean, if you have a look where he sits there, that's him on the left, you know, if you don't know who he is. And he sits there with Susanna Reid, and I don't know who it is, the Weather Girl or whatever. But I mean, in the way that television is now, mainstream television, you're not going to see a setup like that anymore, where the white man is like boss, and he's sitting there with his two girls, like his entourage, and he's got all of this, like, he's got nearly half the desk to himself, and then all of, like, on the right hand side there, it's like Labour Party activists and Guardian columnists. And I just thought it was quite funny how they're all kind of huddled around the edge of the desk, as if they've been dragged to the court of King Piers to get their verbal drubbing and to be owned, which is that's pretty much the format of the show, is that it's really, like, unbelievably dumb and lowbrow, and it's that there's a story going on, and Piers Morgan drags them up onto his show so he can speak common sense. He's speaking up on behalf of Middle England, on behalf of John Bull out there in the Shires and across the country, like the normal English guy who's got common sense. So the framing of it is that who Piers Morgan is speaking on behalf of. And so what I thought I'd do, there is a set format, and there's a set sort of different ideological cliques which go on. And I thought I would take a look at a few of the different ones and how Piers Morgan approaches this. So the first one that I'd like to look at would be the not-so-lovely Afua Hirsch, who is she's a skintellectual, she's a race grifter. It's all about, you know, Black Lives Matter, white privilege, critical race theory. And so this is one kind of person that goes on there quite often. You know, there's other ones, there's like that Kehinde Andrews, and there's a Dr. Shola something or other. Ash Sarkar is another one. So you get these skintellectuals going on who make a good living off going on mainstream television and just moaning about white people and white culture. And Piers Morgan is then left to deal with this. Now, the first thing, just looking at this, taking a step back, is that the first thing that's happening here is that all of these people, so here's Afua Hirsch, and she wants to bring down Nelson's column because of racism or slavery or whatever it is. But the thing is, like, she is being given a platform here. So you have to keep that in mind when we're trying to figure out, like, the whole setup here. Like, she's also got a column in The Guardian, but all of these, like, outlandish anti-white social justice talking points, the only reason we even know they exist is because they're going on mainstream television. But once they're on mainstream television, they'll be confronted with various different opinions. And so Piers Morgan is the guy who is speaking common sense. So in this debate that happened, I'm not going to play the rolling footage because I'll get hit with copyright. So in this particular debate here, Piers Morgan said it was ridiculous, it was a stupid idea, let's just have some common sense. And then he also claimed that Afua Hirsch was anti-white, which I was quite impressed with. But then he also then said, well, do you want to bring down Winston Churchill's statue? And Afua Hirsch replied by saying, well, there's a discussion to be had around that. And of course, Piers Morgan, one of the things you'll discover about him is that he absolutely loves Winston Churchill. Like, Winston Churchill is just the greatest guy ever. He saved us from the racists, and he pointed that out to Afua Hirsch. So he's kind of like king of the bulldog nationalists, and that's where his opinions are. Very much like the guy in the room who's speaking common sense, simple as, all of that kind of thing. Like a much more sophisticated version of the North meme. And so in this particular case, Afua Hirsch said, I would want to tear down Winston Churchill's statue. And Piers Morgan just kind of said it was all ridiculous, it was all stupid, and the country's going to hell, which you can't fault it. But like the response to that was that, but when the problem is Winston Churchill was actually racist, and they've got all of this evidence. And this leaves Piers Morgan in a bit of a funny pickle. And he has to then kind of sort of disavow Winston Churchill while at the same time saying he was the greatest man ever and he saved us from the real racists over on the continent. And so you begin to see this kind of incoherent, like sort of centrist liberalism. It's just that he says it very loud. But then in this particular case, remember that what's actually happened here is that Afua Hirsch's idea that we have to topple Nelson's column, that has been now normalised. It's been on national television. That as a talking point is now in the discourse. It's in the national conversation. So then the next one that I had to look at is where the tone shifted completely. Like this was... this was a fiery one. This was quite a famous debate. So this time around, Tommy Robinson goes on and he's waving around a Koran and he's talking about how it's got all of these violent passages in. It's an existential threat to the country and everything like that. And I was surprised at how far Piers Morgan went. Piers Morgan basically just called him scum. He really went to town. This, it wasn't like with Afua Hirsch, where it was a bit playful and a bit knock around. And he also takes the same tone with all of the sort of race grifters. He shakes his head and he says they're anti-white and this is all getting out of hand. But in the case of Tommy Robinson, he actually, he called him a lunatic. He said he was a disgrace. And he did everything but throw him off the set. And the reason why I used Tommy Robinson in this particular case is because when I was going through, when I was sort of binge-watching Piers Morgan's debates on YouTube, Tommy Robinson was like the only person I could actually find who was, I know people are moaning, but let's just say like populist right-wing in that camp, in the camp of political incorrectness. The only one that I could really find there was Tommy Robinson and Nigel Farage. But Nigel Farage, I mean, you know. It's as far as like sort of challenging peers from, let's say, the right in a more politically incorrect manner, Tommy Robinson was almost the only one I could find. And Piers Morgan's tone was completely different to all of the other interviews, debates that I've seen him get into, except for one, which I'll come to later. So it was really to viciously attack Tommy Robinson's character in a way that he didn't do with any of the others, even though when you think of it, what the people like Afua Hirsch, what they're actually proposing is just relentless white guilt and the erasing of our history, which is actually more extreme From a purely objective position, it's more extreme. Yet Morgan goes lighter on them than what he does on Tommy Robinson. Tommy Robinson gets the full knockdown, vicious sort of personal attacks. And then the other one that you'll see, which is his, like, he goes on about this all of the time, is all of this crazy sexual identity kind of stuff that's coming in. Now, again, like, Piers Morgan will heavily criticize, say, was like male to identify as female in female sports. He'll really go on about that, but he'll say it's because he wants to protect female sports because they're going to destroy female sports. And in this particular case, he's right. That is what's happening. It's quite ridiculous. But then, as far as all of these different identities are concerned, like, this is also like his most, like, he gets people like this on every day. And he's always coming at it from a point of view where it's all just nonsense. None of it makes any sense. He can't understand it. Like, on this particular issue, I agree with Morgan the most. And one of my particular favorites was when he identified himself as a two-spirited penguin. Now, I didn't even know what that meant, but apparently the spirit, having two spirits, is when somebody who's transitioned or somebody in LGBT, they can then also identify that they've got some sort of ancient ethnic spirit. So maybe they can be kind of like bi and trans, he, her, but then they're also bringing this new one in where their inner spirit is that like of an Aztec or an Inuit or something like that. And so there was like 100 different ones, and Piers Morgan said that he was going to identify as a two-spirited penguin. And I thought, well, this is kind of good. This is like a good laugh. And but there's an absolute ton of these things. But what's important to remember is that when he approaches this, he's approaching it as a liberal. So he doesn't actually mind that much. He does walk a line, but it's basically he doesn't want it imposed on other people, which is you know, he cannot exactly make a moral stance against it because he is a liberal. But so once again, he's trying to frame these things. He's trying to use what a classic liberal has in his toolbox to in his intellectual toolbox to fight against this stuff, and there's almost nothing there. There isn't really any kind of deep morality or anything to it. And so he kind of just shakes his head. And the thing, so the reason what interested to get back to the original thing is that when Piers Morgan is he then the voice of England? Is he saying what everybody's thinking across the country? Well, I actually think he isn't. I actually think it's more the case that he's telling people what to think, rather than voicing the concerns that they have to begin with. And this especially became the case when we got the COVID panic. Now, when the COVID came in, if we think that Piers Morgan is the guy with common sense and he is the one who's going to say it as it is, he's saying what everybody else is thinking, then in actual fact, when COVID came in and everybody didn't really know what was going on, he went berserk, and he has criticized the government for not doing enough relentlessly, and he's carrying on doing it to this day. Nobody with any kind of large platform in this country has been as pro-vaccination, as lockdown, as calling people COVID idiots, as hauling people up to lambast them because they're not doing enough. And again, the bulldog nationalism became NHS nationalism. So he loves the NHS workers. It's all invoking this World War II spirit, and everybody has to make their sacrifices, except for him, of course, who he spent Christmas in the Caribbean when everybody was locked in their homes. But, you know, never mind. So the idea is that Middle England will then start and attack the government for not doing enough, for not locking them up enough, when there was actually a different narrative out there, the one from, say, Peter Hitchens, which is much more sceptical. So in a way, Piers Morgan had to basically he the narrative that he went with was one to attack the government, but attack the government for not doing enough. And we can see that in a way, it's the only other time that he's done that on this particular video is it's similar to the Tommy Robinson thing. He broke ranks and then went rogue, if you like, and started to not exactly have the centrist position. He went much further than that. But what that ends up with, in the same as the Tommy Robinson issue, is that what he's doing is drawing a ring fence. He's making a line and saying this is where we have to go. He isn't sort of encapsulating the voice of Middle England and then bringing it out on the television. He is actually dictating how things will go. He is dictating the narratives. He is dictating the discourse. This is how you have to think about it. So it's fine to be somewhat friendly to Afua Hirsch and disagree with her, like anti-white politics, and you can even call it that, as long as you're respectful and you have a decent discussion about it. When it comes to Tommy Robinson, he has to be completely stamped out because he's scum. When it comes to the gender issues, you can once again have that knock around discussion and you can shake your head at how crazy it all is, but you can give them a platform and it's all part of civilized debate. Then when you see what happened with the COVID issue, you see once again that it's outside of it. He's outside of the ring fence and saying, no, there's no two ways about this. This is the narrative that you have to have, and if you don't believe it, you're an idiot. Exactly what he the kind of thing that he did with Tommy Robinson. And so what you see instead of voicing the opinions of Middle England, it's actually that he's nudging people and cajoling people to think and frame ideas, frame discussions around current events in a certain way. So it isn't that he is this kind of the mouthpiece of Middle England. It's more that he's shouting, he's not voicing up on their behalf. He's kind of shouting at them in a very clever way and saying, this is how you have to think about this particular issue. And they go along with it because they think, well, he's the guy speaking common sense. In actual fact, it isn't. It's like one of those bait balls that you see with the whales blowing bubbles around it, gently nudging them in the right direction before they sort of getting all of the fish into that bait ball so they're all on page. And then in the case of the COVID crisis, they can then be they like, turned on. So many people across Britain would have been expecting Piers Morgan to come out and say things like it's all exaggerated, it's not that much of an offence, or you can't just lock us in our homes, this is blah blah blah. And no, he did the exact opposite. And so in the end, what we can see now, in my opinion, is that what it amounts to is where he appears to be counter signaling the government, but in actual fact, he's doing the government a favor because what he's doing is getting more and more people to put pressure on the government to do something that they wanted to do anyway, in the same way that he's giving Afua Hirsch a platform. The only time when he really steps out of bounds is when there's a larger agenda here. When the fish, the bait ball, is in danger of sort of scattering and getting out of control, as is the case with some of the things that Tommy Robinson brings up. I personally don't quite agree with that kind of line of thought, but nevertheless, what we see with Tommy Robinson and how people have to handle that has to be handled a certain way. It can't be allowed to get any further. It has to be stamped out because there's a danger all of the little fishies are going to go off in the wrong direction. The exact same thing happened with the COVID. They have to be told to think this way. And it appears that he's sort of putting pressure on the government, he's attacking the government, but it's actually what the elites want. In the same way, giving a platform to Afua Hirsch is what the elites want. And for whatever reason, Tommy Robinson seems to have served whatever purpose he had, and it's okay to completely savage him on television. So this is how Piers Morgan sets the discourse. It's very interesting. So thanks for listening, folks, and I'll catch you later.